Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing. The reading is from the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
What does it mean to be a Christian? Who's Jesus? Are these important traditions, important stories? What are these written words that inspire and challenge? Is there still room for spirituality? Is there still room for beauty? Is there room for wonder? Join La Jolla United Methodist Church as we learn or relearn what it means to be a Christian, as we learn that our sole job is to love.
We begin this new sermon series on the body of Christ, really trying to carefully and intentionally look at, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a person of faith? What does it mean to be a spiritual person? What are some of the things that come along with that? Are we to prioritize things like tradition? Are we to prioritize things like scripture? Are we to prioritize things like our experience of God? How do we reason those things together? By the way, you United Methodists will probably pick up that I just named the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. But what does it mean to be a Christian? How does it inform our lives? How does it change our lives? Over the course of the next 8 weeks, we'll be guided primarily by the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, exploring what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be the body of Christ. Friends, I think it is good and right that we begin this series with a text that talks about the baptism of Christ, that we begin this series with a celebration of holy baptism, that we begin this series with a celebration of Holy Communion, that we begin this time at the beginning. You see, that's what I think this is. I think this is a beginning. You may recall that in the Christian tradition, the new year was before January 1st. The new year starts on the first Sunday of Advent, the celebration and preparation of the arrival of Christ. But we know that Jesus had many years. Depending on which gospel you read, there's different stories that we have a tendency to put together to sort of give us a sense of what his early life may have looked like. You know, there's nothing in the scripture about when Jesus got in trouble for walking on the bathwater. That part's not there. I say this in jest, but really, we don't have a lot of information. We know that Jesus was born in very unusual circumstances. We know that according to Jewish law, he was presented appropriately in the temple. In the Gospel of Luke, there's a story about Jesus getting lost in the city of Jerusalem, terrifying his parents. If you've ever been a parent or cared for someone who got lost, oh my gosh, there's absolute fear that takes place in that time. But then there's really not much until we get to the story outlined in today's text. Of course, we read it from Luke, It's in all the Gospels. And it's really interesting. I was reading some notes from a scholar who pointed it out this way, especially if we read this one. And, you know, Matthew is a bit more extensive, Mark not so much, but Luke really talks about all these things with John the Baptist. Is he the Messiah? John says, nope, not me. He talks about winnowing fork and clearing the threshing floor, and we might have a moment to talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the crux of this scripture. Maybe not the crux, but the point of the scripture. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and he was praying, like this singular moment that we understand is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and the author of the Gospel of Luke doesn't even give it half a sentence. I mentioned there was an author, a Christian author that I was reading who was sort of exploring this, and he said a funny thing. He said, it's not in here about whether or not Jesus was immersed or if it was just a sprinkling. And yet we've had great conflict about whether baptism should be by immersion or another means. It's not written in the text what detailed liturgy was used. And I would suggest, friends, perhaps to some disagreement, that maybe those things aren't what's most important. Jesus was baptized. There was a symbol of water. He was marked in an important way. And maybe this is what's important. Maybe the words we say are less important. Maybe the method is less important. And maybe this was a symbol, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And there was a response. A voice from heaven came and said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I'm well pleased." Jesus was marked. He was claimed. He was named as the Son of the Most High. And he was affirmed. With you, I am well pleased. We can get into all kinds of arguments about whether we use the baptismal font in the right way, or the right person says the right words, or the right hand is the one that pours the water. We can have all of those conversations. And I would suggest that is what is most important is the symbol of water, the naming, the claiming. As I read this, I'm moved. I have an emotional and spiritual response. Now, I want to be careful not to say that, listen, I don't think the liturgy is important. I don't think the method is important. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to say that, you know, you don't need a pastor to do all the things, right? I'm not trying to say those things. What I'm trying to say is they aren't the most important. You know, in the United Methodist tradition, we have particular rules about who can preside at a baptism, who can preside over Holy Communion. But I would suggest that those rules are not because the pastor has some sort of special magic power, but because the pastor is the one who has the education and the experience to guide us through the theology of what the Holy Spirit is doing in that moment. Because I believe that the work of baptism, the work of Holy Communion, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, they are beginnings. As we talked about in the baptism liturgy, the celebration of baptism is a beginning. The beginning, in this case for Parker, of his life of faith and spirituality. A life that I suggest will be rich and beautiful because of the diversity of his rich traditions, of the family traditions that he will hear about and that he will experience. It's a beginning. It's an initiation. It's an invitation into a life of faith and spirituality. And I would suggest, my friends, that we have all received such an invitation. Most of us have experienced such a beginning. And so what will we do with this beginning? How will we respond to this invitation? Will we feel conflicted? Will we sometimes fail and fall short? Might we even from time to time turn away and wrestle with turning back? I suggest that for most of us, friends, all of these are true, and probably more. Remember that text where John the Baptist says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to tie the sandals of the one who's coming. But he will come, and he will clear the wheat from the chaff. I was thinking about perhaps the wheat and the chaff aren't a collection of good people and a collection of bad people, and the good people will be saved and the bad people will be thrown out into fire and flame. But perhaps in the symbolism, recognizing that a stalk of wheat is all one plant that has both grain and chaff, that within us, we have parts of us that are filled with love and compassion and hope and grace and light. And there are parts of us that are broken and filled with temptation. And maybe the waters of baptism, maybe the celebration of communion, maybe the presence of the light of God, maybe the confession of Christ as our Redeemer and Savior, maybe that is an indication that within us, those parts where we feel broken, those times that we feel tempted, it is that that might be cast aside so that the presence of light and love that's within us might be nurtured and grow and bear fruit. Today, as we read the text about the baptism of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry. Today, as we celebrate the baptism of Parker and the beginning of his life of faith and spirituality. Today, as we begin a new sermon series on the body of Christ, learning and relearning how to be a Christian. It is good and right that this is a beginning, so that we can nurture that which bears fruit and cast aside that which does harm, so that we might be the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Friends, each Sunday as we experience a time of worship, part of that time is to consider a tangible way that we might respond to the experience of worship. Here's what I would invite you to do over the course of this next week. I would invite you to look at your faith life, your spiritual life, and maybe that has to do with prayer. Maybe that has to do with the ways that you interact with people. Maybe that has to do with your expression of loving your neighbor. Maybe that has to do with scripture reading. I would invite you to take a look at what parts of those of your faith and spiritual life. Over the course of this week, look at what practices you have that help you feel more faithful, more spiritual. But I also want you to do a difficult thing. I want you, over the course of this week, to look at those parts of your life, maybe that distract you from those things, maybe make you feel less spiritual. Look at those things, perhaps hold them in tension with one another. Consider how you might make a change so that you might lean more into those things that help you feel closer to God and set aside those that take you away. That's my invitation to you over the course of this week, that you do this self-examination and see how it affects your life of faith and spirituality.